All right, well, today we celebrate All Saints Sunday. And there's certainly someone in each of your lives that over time is now with the church triumphant. They're with God. But I want you to think about some things before we get to talking a little bit about our loved ones. And I want you to go back to the time of Daniel, the Old Testament reading for today. It was a very turbulent time, a time that would not be fun to remember. If pictures were had, they would be pictures of devastation, pictures of an occupying country and a tyrant that reigned over them that was so bad. His name was Antiochus Epiphanes, and he didn't care about the Jews. All he cared about was the land that they had. Because Palestine, Israel, was an approximation in along the Mediterranean coast, that it was kind of a crossroads where all kinds of traffic, trade would go through. By having that, he could control the trade routes. But one of the problems that, as any occupying emperor or tyrant would have, is that sometimes the people resisted being occupied. And so they would gather around, and they would, with Israel, they would gather around their faith and their nationalism, and the temple was a huge sign of who they were and how proud of people they were. And as long as that temple was in existence, there was absolutely no reason why they couldn't unite and fight these tyrants that would come and occupy them. But Antiochus had a plan, and that was he took a pig. And he took it into the temple, this unclean animal, and he sacrificed it on the altar, therefore making the temple no longer useful for the Jew. He knew how to squash any feelings of nationalism. He knew how to take the air out of their tires or the wind out of their sails. He was a very cruel and crude man. Can you imagine what that time must have been like for those individuals who occupied the land? For those whose homes were taken over and were driven out of them. For those who had history with the land and history with the community that it was around them and their neighbors being taken away from them and sent off into far, far away places. Can you imagine how sad and how depressing and how angry that would have made individuals? And then we come to today. And we worry about all kinds of things that are going on out there. In just a couple more days, if you can just hold on, we'll finally have an election. It just seems like this thing just takes so slowly to go. And there are people who are worried about the results, and they're worried about what's going to happen after the effect, and we're worried about how well our nation will fare in the future. We worry about each other, and we worry about the fact that there are those of us in our midst that are sick and not feeling well. There are people in our lives that we are close to that are struggling. You have followed my life since I've been here, and you have seen names, and you have met people in my family, and some of you have continued to ask about my sister-in-law, who's in four-stage cancer, and she's doing remarkably well. We're really thrilled and excited about that, but we know that day is going to come, and that's, I don't know that we'll ever be prepared for that. And my brother, on the other hand, has some things that are going on with him, and so we worry about him. And then, of course, we have our grandchildren, and we wonder what kind of world they're going to grow up in. But that's where Paul in Ephesians comes in today. Paul, who celebrates the fact that the faithful in Ephesus continue to lift up to God in prayer and celebrate in their faith. And Paul gives thanks for that, and he reminds them that they too are marked with this cross of Christ, that they too are part of this glorious inheritance that has become all of ours. And that's where perhaps maybe we should get into the feel of the psalm for this day, where there's dancing and there's singing and there's joy that as we shout out with praise to God. And we hear these very familiar words of the Beatitudes according to Luke. the words of promise. The words of promise are to a world that's turned upside down according to God. From the very beginning of the gospel, where we have the story of the birth narrative of Jesus and understanding that this isn't the way that it's going to work, folks. It's going to be very different. And so what he's saying to those who struggle, to those of you who grieve today, there will be new life to celebrate. To those of you who are hungry, and this is not something where Matthew says that hunger for righteousness. This is about down-to-earth, nitty-gritty feelings of hunger pangs within one's belly that cries out every day. And you can imagine that there are people who are like that, who worry about each day how in the world they're going to eat. And God's saying, we're going to take care of you too. And for those of you who have been oppressed because of your faith, I will take care of you as well. The world will change. And it will change because who is ultimately in control? That's what all these readings are about. It's about a God who does not ever stop. And even though for us it may seem that, oh my goodness, if a Donald Trump or a Hillary Clinton gets in, it's going to turn the world upside down, and it may well change things, but they're not ultimately in control. Today, as we think about the people that had impact in our life, they too went through much the same experiences that we do. There are people that we are sad to lose, and there are memories that will make us cry, and there are memories that will make us laugh. There are those good times that we can recall, and those special seasons of the year in which we can remember when they were all together with us, and sometimes in the midst of that, that makes us sad, and we might shed a tear over that. My dad died on November 1st, All Saints Day, 5 years ago. And 5 years seems like a long time, but it just seems like yesterday. And there are things and there are times that I remember that something will just kind of catch my mind, and it'll catch me off guard because I'll think, I want to talk to him about this, and then I realize I can't. And then there are times, there are things that I remember that make me laugh because he was somebody who had a great sense of humor. Maybe that's where I get it from. As I told the folks on Wednesday, I think part of it was because I was the youngest in the family. And in order to get attention, because my brother was the one that, you know, was going to, he was the future of the blank family because he was very much precision and was very much into, he loved the band and he loved to march, and he'd be out and doing things, and he eventually enlisted in the Coast Guard, made that his career, and everybody talked about my brother. My sister was the only girl in the family other than my mom, but she was the only female child, and of course that had a special place for both my mom and dad. And then here I come along 6 years later. This rather large child that arrives, and so the way I found that I could get attention was to be funny. And the way I found that would make me happy is to make them happy. And one of my key things was to make my father laugh. And when I could make my father laugh, I knew I was funny. And we would get him going to the point where he would start laughing and he couldn't stop. And the tears would start rolling down his eyes. And it was, not that we'd like to torture him that way. It's just that, you know, that humor would just take off with him. And it was contagious because then we'd all start cracking up and laughing with him. And we would just, you know, we would just feel so good when it was all said and done. And we were all smiling and realizing what it was to be a family together. Those are good memories. But today, as we look to being connected with Christ, I know that my father has been connected with Christ from the time that he was born to the day that he died. My last conversation with him on October 31st, Halloween Day. He had surgery that day, and each of us, all three of us kids were there, and Judy was there, and each of us went into the room, his prep room, before he was ready to be taken up. And, you know, he spent more time with Judy than he did with me. I jokingly said, I think you've been adopted by the family pretty well here. But part of his conversation with her was about taking care of me. And I just remember him saying how he loved me, and I responded the same, and I just wished him well. And my good friend was there to have a prayer with him, and he got out of surgery, and we saw him for a few minutes, and I don't know how much he remembers because he was still under sedation. But it was later that night that we got a phone call that he had died. And that hurts. And it will always hurt. I don't care what people say to you. That's a part of human reaction. That's what we're about. If it doesn't hurt, there's something wrong with us, that we don't know what it is to love, that what it is to be in the care of somebody very special, and to know that God has blessed this relationship in such a way. I know not all of us can have those kinds of relationships. But I just see that as a very small sampling of what Christ's relationship is with us. So much greater, so much more. So much more of an understanding that I think when we cry, Christ cries with us. And when we laugh, Christ laughs with us. And when we celebrate the love of the Father, He celebrates with us. And so today is a day about hope of what is to come. That I don't need to fear the future. Or you, but that you hold close to your heart this gift that God has given you in baptism. Keep those snapshots in your mind of those special occasions with family members and with friends, and never lose those. And know that at some point and some time, when I will be here, but it will not be in this way, but I will be laying in this direction, with my head laying that way and my feet this way, because that's how they bring pastors in on the casket, facing the altar, or I'm sorry, the other way around, facing the congregation, that I don't need to be afraid, because God will call me home. And so today, bring the names of your loved ones forward. Remember them with great relish. Remember them with smiles, remember them with tears, and remember also that in time we too will be a part of the church triumphant, because we are connected with Christ. Amen.